Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation within each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The central symbol of Christianity is not pretty. Oh, it can be rendered in a beautiful manner, in artistic modes of brass or mosaic or silver. But the reality is of an old rugged cross on which a beaten man was nailed to die. The central act of Christian worship, the Lord's Supper, has bread and cup as participation in Jesus' body and blood. In the first century of Christianity, when pagan Roman officials were investigating what this new Christian group was about, they found liturgies for Holy Communion and presumed that the early Christians were cannibals. Why is all this talk of blood and gore and death necessary? Why can't we have Easter without the cross? From my perspective, it is not because God is a bloodthirsty ogre who cannot bring the divine self to forgive unless there is the spilling of blood. Such an image is in direct contrast with the God of love revealed in the teachings of Jesus. Yet, Jesus' horrible death was necessary. If Jesus were to participate as fully as possible in the human experience, I have come to believe that the doctrine of the incarnation demands the cross. God had to demonstrate to us how costly forgiving grace really is. If forgiveness were not costly, how could we, you and I, realize the value of such forgiveness? I want you to think of any safety-related law or regulation. When does a dangerous intersection finally get a traffic light, or if it's a railroad intersection, a railroad crossing arm? When? You know, don't you? You know. When does it become a requirement that rental properties have working smoke alarms? You know, don't you? When does anything happen that regulates for the health and safety of citizens after there has been tragic death? It seems that we humans are not somehow able to realize the gravity of our situations until we see suffering. In this sense, the blood-stained cross of Christ is not so much a necessity for God's angle, but for ours. How else could we ever know the tremendous cost of our own sin if we could not see how much it cost God to demonstrate it for us? Anglican theologian John Stott wrote, "The Christian community is a community of the cross, for it has been brought into being by the cross, and the focus of its worship is the Lamb once slain, now glorified. So the community of the cross is a community of celebration, offering to God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving." Many years before John Stott wrote those words, an ancient saint of the church, Catherine of Siena, left these words: "The word of Christ played life against death and death against life in a tournament on the wood of the cross, so that by Christ's death he destroyed death, and to give us life he spent his own life." And that, my friends, is why we gather on Good Friday. But what Christ did on that Friday, so long ago, and the vindication of his sacrifice the third day following, we have the hope of eternal life. Amen. The solemn reproaches of the cross are used at Good Friday services by long tradition in the church. The form of them is based on reproaches that the prophet Hosea once gave to the people of Israel centuries before the birth of Jesus, but it is adapted in Christian use for Good Friday. After each reproach ends, "But you have prepared a cross for your Savior," let the congregation respond, "Lord, have mercy." O my people, O my church, what have I done to you? In what have I offended you? Answer me. I led you forth from the land of Egypt and delivered you by the waters of baptism, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior. I led you through the desert 40 years and fed you with manna. I brought you through tribulation and penitence. I gave you my body, the bread of heaven, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord,
what more could I have done for you? I planted you my chosen, my fairest vineyard. I made you the branches of my vine, but when I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar. And pierced with a spear the side of your Savior, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord,
I went before you in a pillar of cloud. You led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. I scourged your enemies and brought you to freedom, but you scourged, mocked, and beat me. I gave you water from the rock, but you have given me gall and left me to thirst, and have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, I
gave you a royal scepter, bestowing the keys to the kingdom, but you gave me a crown of thorns, and have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord,
my peace I gave, which the world cannot give. I washed your feet as a sign of my love, but you drew a sword to strike in my name. I offered you my body and blood, but you scattered me and denied knowing me, and have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
I sent the Spirit of truth to guide you, but you closed your heart to the counsel. I prayed that you might be one as I and the Father are one, but you quarrel and divide and cast lots for my clothing, and have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord,
I grafted you into the tree of my chosen people Israel, but you turned on them with persecution and gas chambers, making them scapegoats for your own guilt. You have prepared a cross for your Savior. I came to you as the least of your brothers and sisters. I was hungry, but you gave me no food. I was thirsty, but you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have
holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us.